Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, Fastlane Sports Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. Tonight we've got NASCAR. They took their talents to the Indy Road Course race this past Sunday. They tested out their talents, turning left and right. Buddy, let me tell you, from lap one, it was a wreck, but it almost looked like Daytona. We had a few of the big ones, took out a lot of big-name stars. These guys were driving almost like there's only a couple races left and only a few spots to fight for the playoffs. We'll check in on that. Plus, we've got dirt racing out of New York this past weekend with the World of Outlaws. We had the All-Stars running, fighting against Mother Nature and trying to get races in as well. All of that coming up tonight, plus the penalty box. You're going to want to stick around for the penalty box because I got a feeling it's going to be a good one after yesterday's race. We've got some drama in the World of Outlaws. We'll talk about that as well. All of that coming up, so keep it tuned right here to the Fastlane Sports Show, only on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Let's go!
From the 357 Woodworks Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to check out HardcoreFishingGame.com. Thank God it's Monday. It is Monday evening, and I'm glad that you are here with me tonight. Thank you for tuning in to the show once again. We've got another great show lined up for you tonight. We've got drama everywhere again. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's like we're getting closer and closer to the NASCAR playoffs. It's like we're getting close to the end of dirt racing season. These guys are driving like there's something on the line, and it's getting pretty good. Plus, of course, we're in NASCAR silly season, so we've got contract talks going on as well. We've already got guys going to other teams, not next year, the year after. So we've got a lot to talk about. Plus, like I said, coming up later is the penalty box. Quick shout out to Barbasol, of course, for coming on board again in 2022. They've been with us since the very beginning. Coming up later in the show, in the second hour, we will be doing our drawing, finally, for our autographed Barbasol hat. Was autographed at Wayne County Speedway during Ohio Sprint Speed Weeks with the All-Star Circuit of Champions, plus other local drivers that were there. We've got names on here like, we've got Tyler Courtney on here. We got Lance DeWeese. We've got Danny Dietrich. We've got Tony Stewart even autographed the hat, plus a bunch of other names as well. Parker Price Miller, some of the big names in the All-Stars. Henry Malkett, he's a local driver at Wayne County. He signed the hat as well. So we've got this that we're going to give away. We're doing a drawing for that. We're going to do a kind of a tournament-style drawing for that. Christina's going to help me with that here in just a little bit. Thank you to Barbasol, though. Shout out to them. They make it possible for you guys to join the show each week by calling the Barbasol Shave phone line, which is 657-383-1903. You can pick up Barbasol products wherever you grocery shop, really. Pharmacies, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, places like that. Giant Eagle, you can find Barbasol products. They're great products. They've been around since 1919. And if you live in Ohio, hey, they're an Ohio company as well. So be sure to check out Barbasol at your local grocery store. Also, be sure to check out and follow Margazzano Designs on Facebook. Give them a like if you need a great party gift or birthday gift or graduation gift or something that you want unique, customized, and handmade. Check out Margazzano Designs. She posts everything that she's made on there so you can get an idea of what you want. Maybe you already have an idea. You can reach out to her, run it by her, see if it's something that she can do. If it's something that she can do on a Cricut, she pretty much could do it. So check out what she's done and give her a shout today if you need a customized gift made for somebody in your life. Also, check out Debbie G Photography on Facebook. Give her a like if you need some racing photos done, either a racetrack, a promoter, spouse of a driver, and you need some pictures, be sure to reach out to Debbie G Photography. Of course, we've got Hardcore Fishing Game. Check out hardcorefishinggame.com for a great lineup of activewear for hunting or fishing. Plus, if maybe you have a group hunt or you've got something going on with a group and you need some customized outdoor clothing, whether it be clothes to keep you cool in the summer or keep you warm in the winter, check out their great line of customized activewear as well. So go to hardcorefishinggame.com. Also, of course, lastly, 357 Woodworks. Big shout out to Scott. Thank you to Scott over at 357 Woodworks. He's made us some beautiful things in the past, and he's been a great friend and supporter of this show. Thank you to him, Barbasol, Hardcore, all of the great sponsors we have. And, of course, can't forget coming up here when we start doing a little bit of talking dirty. It's always brought to you by each and every week by Racer Chasing Apparel, another great small company out there. Amanda, she is a great friend and supporter of the show as well. Check out racerchasingapparel.com for some great clothes to wear to the racetrack. Speaking of getting dirty, I have to get dirty. I'm about to get my That's right. It's about to get dirty. It's that time of the show. It's time for Talking Dirty, and I am bringing on my co-host now, Miss Christina. Oh, Christina, good evening. Welcome to the show. We've got a lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we got beaten, we got banging, we got crybabies, we got pansies, we got race car drivers, winners, losers. I mean, it's just a typical Monday.
It is. It's a typical Monday after a great weekend of racing. We've got World of Outlaw action that went on this past weekend. All-Stars, they were fighting Mother Nature out there in Missouri, but they got a couple nights of racing in. Plus, we had NASCAR all weekend at Indianapolis with the on a road course there in Indianapolis with the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. We got drivers who love the course. We've got some drivers who want to go back to the Oval. We'll talk about that, though.
Of course, the one driver who wants to go back to the Oval has been a crybaby.
Yeah, we'll talk about all of that coming up. We'll get to NASCAR shortly. But first, we got a few other things to do, Christine. We got Talking Dirty to do because there's been some great racing action this weekend. Plus, you're going to help me after we talk dirty. You're going to help me pick a winner for this awesome Barbasol signed hat. Christina, I mean, big names like Danny Dietrich. We got Corey Eliason. Henry Malkett. He races at Wayne County Speedway. Tony Stewart, Christina. Tony Stewart signed our hat for us even.
Who never cries.
He never cries. No. He made guys cry. He signed the hat for us even too, so that's awesome. So cool of him to have done that. Of course, it was at the end of the night. They were getting stuff wrapped up. Racing was done, so he had a couple minutes to do that. Great guy. I mean, he is somebody who has been at the very top championship level of racing, asphalt racing in NASCAR. Three-time Cup Series champion, drove anything and everything, drove for multiple teams, owns a NASCAR Cup team, part owner of a team, drag racing, dirt racing. For somebody who has been to that level of racing, he is a down to earth. He knows what is important to racing, and it's the fans. And, he goes to how many different racetracks a year, Christina? How many different dirt tracks, small town short tracks does he go to? He can't walk out of his house without being recognized. He's world famous, So I'm sure anywhere he goes, he gets mugged. But he takes time for signs stuff. And it's awesome, to see that caliber of a person who owns racing series and teams and tracks and everything that he has accomplished, for him to be that down to earth, that is awesome. He will forever be one of my favorite NASCAR drivers, not all-time favorite, but one of my favorite drivers in that aspect of he's so down to earth and humble and takes time for the fans. And that's what's important.
Yeah, and that's what I today's drivers and whatever lack. But, that's for another day and another story. And, I mean, I don't know. I think, we might need some new World of Outlaw officials, too, after this past weekend. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a shit show.
We will, we're definitely going to talk about that. So, I've only caught bits and pieces. We'll just start off with that. We'll just start with the drama. Let's get the drama out of the way and start with that now. I heard that
the drama all night.
I only caught bits and pieces, but evidently a week or so ago, we had a World of Outlaw official get into it with a pit crew member in the pits.
Yeah,
and then
physical beat down.
What happened with Sheldon? He pulled off the track or he wrecked?
So what happened is the fact of where he was, they wouldn't let him get out of the car because it was, quote unquote, a dangerous spot to get out of the car. Well, if that is the case, then why did the yellow not get thrown? I mean, you're just leaving him sit out there. That there is dangerous in its own damn self. They're literally the most ass-backwards, excuse-riddled officials I have ever met, and that's saying a lot because I've seen some pretty bad track officials. But nothing takes the cake quite like this and some of the shit that went down in the All-Stars a few months ago, which we won't talk about because Danny Dietrich has talked quite at length about it, and if you want to know, you can go to his Twitter page. He has he's not afraid. He talks all the time on there. But, I mean, so that happened, and I don't disagree with Sheldon's car owner, and his car owner's wife, getting involved and saying what they said because they have every right to. I mean, that was a very precarious and probably a really bad spot for him to be in general, and, I mean, they made it worse because, you know, that is what it is. So that happened. Then last night, I don't know if it was an outlaw official or a track official from Weed Sport, because they still use the regular officials from the track, who I don't know the 101% story of how this went, but obviously we'll talk about the fact that Donnie Schatz had a perfect night. But I don't know if it was aided or abetted at all with officiating and how he knew where exactly David Gravel was. And apparently the video, which, mind you, you can't rewind on certain streaming platforms, which, you know, how convenient that you can't. But you could hear the official last night saying something to Schatz. Did it help you when I told you how close he was?
Huh. So Donnie Schatz had a World of Outlaw official spotter.
I don't know. I don't know if it was the world, but that's the thing. I don't know. No one's 100% sure if it's a track official from Weed Sport or a World of Outlaws official. No one could fully give I think what I saw last was that it was possibly a track official from the track. Either way, it's not a good look.
No. Now, let me ask you, because you've grown up around this and everything. When we go to NASCAR or asphalt racing, even at Jennerstown, those drivers, they do have spotters. Dirt racing, there's not spotters. But let me ask you this, Christina. Are we sure it's an official? Like, somebody from his team can't radio to him, right?
The only quote unquote radio they have is what they call a transponder, which a transponder only is coming from the top of the tower, telling you where you should line up and so forth.
Right.
That is it. There's no radio communication with crew.
Right.
None of that. So, like, the only time you talk to your crew is when you come in. And the crews, they can't even get close enough to, spot for you. There's no way you could do it. I can tell you right now, it doesn't matter what racetrack I've ever been at. It's not going to happen.
I've tried
to help a guy, not even, during a race, because, A, they can't see you.
Right.
Like, at the speed they're going, you're a blur to them. Which, if you're taking a picture of a sprint car on your camera, that's what you look like to them. When you look at the picture and it's a blur and you're like, well, how the hell am I going to get a good shot? You need a shutter footage camera for that. It's not normal. And, I mean, there's no way it was a crew member, especially considering they had a shirt on that's the official. So, that'll take that completely out of the context as well. But there's no way. It doesn't work.
But, That's what I mean, though. Like, there's absolutely zero way that anybody with the radio could talk to Donnie.
There's no possible way.
Because you don't know the radio frequency or anything like that.
It's one frequency, and you're not going to get it. It is literally the tower to the transponder. That is
right.
It. There's no other way to get any kind of that at all.
Very interesting because, as you mentioned, Donna
it's not the first time the World of Outlaws have been in this kind of hot water. Won't be the last. But they like to try and play cover up, and it doesn't work.
Donnie Schatz did get the win, though, last night at Weedsport after David Gravel got the win on Saturday. So that was our two winners this weekend from the Empire State Challenge weekend in Weedsport, New York at Weedsport Speedway. David Gravel got the big win on Saturday, Donnie Schatz getting it on Sunday. Christina, that kind of shakes up the sprint car points a little bit, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't shake up the first spot. That is still the same. Same there. Brad Sweet still has his two wins in the lead. But the win, David Gravel getting the win Saturday helped.
He could have had it on Sunday. But he couldn't because, perfection had to be had.
He has brought the points down to 36. So, I mean, very within reach of Brad Sweet is David Gravel. And again, once again, we've got Carson Macedo and Sheldon Haldenshield flipping spots. I told you, Christina, these two guys are racing for third place like it's first. They go back and forth every single week, but Carson Macedo in third, Sheldon in fourth, and Donnie Schatz now in fifth. He jumps past Logan Schuhart with that win Sunday. That gives him two on the year now, and he's 172 points out of first, though. So I would say, Christina, we're starting to get to that point in the season. We still have about 3 months of racing left, 2 or 3 months of racing left. But we're starting to see Brad Sweet and David Gravel kind of pull themselves away from the rest of the field. And it's looking like it might. Now, obviously, anything can happen in the next 3 weeks. David Gravel and Brad Sweet could have four bad races, and Carson Macedo and Sheldon Haldenshield could be first and second. But with the way
bad juju on David Gravel.
With the way things are going, though, it looks like Brad Sweet, David Gravel, it could come down to those two for the championship.
Well, it's what it's going to turn into. I hope it is. I hope it's a slugfest. I hope, David Gravel wins. No offense to Casey Kane Racing, but I want David Gravel to win.
He's definitely trying. I mean,
I want my prediction to come true.
He has he's had a few bad races, but Christina, when you look at the stats, though, I mean, he's got more wins than Brad Sweet. He's got the same amount of top fives, and he's got one more top ten. It's just start to get those 36 points. Plus,
right?
Who was it that had a points violation? Who would be in first right now? Didn't somebody get docked some points early in the year?
Did.
That was Carson. That was Carson Macedo.
That was Carson. Yeah. David Gravel hasn't gotten docked anything as of yet. I swear if you jinx him, though, I will come for you.
Oh, I don't see it happening to David Gravel. He's been doing this for too long. He doesn't need to do that.
They all been doing it too long. That's the whole thing. But they still do it. Some do it. Some just get caught. Ask Joe Gibbs Racing. But So I mean, it was a great weekend. We have another weekend coming up. That's going to be just as much fun because we're going to go to Federated Auto Parts Raceway at I-55 for two nights of racing. That's definitely something that's going to be, something you're going to want to look at and see what can shake out here. And then if it doesn't shake out here, oh, it's sure as hell going to shake out the later on in that week because we're going to go to Knoxville.
Oh, yeah. Knoxville. Everybody loves Knoxville. So I've seen some stuff on Facebook. I'm part of a couple different sprint car groups on Facebook to try and keep up with everything
as much as possible.
Well, sometimes as much as possible. Plus there's a lot of great photos on there. A lot of these people that travel and take some of these photos are just amazing. But no, as you mentioned, Federated Auto Parts Raceway is coming up. That starts, August 5th. That's Friday. And it is the Ironman 55 this weekend in Pevely, Missouri, before we head to Knoxville. But, somebody posted on one of these sprint car pages that I follow that, you know, the World of Outlaws, they're with everything that's happened in the last couple weekends, and now you've got Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson kind of doing this thing next summer with the 10 races or so that are going to be like 25,000 to win. Plus you've got Knoxville that has been throwing up a ton of money in purses for things to win. They said the California 410s, that series is really starting to grow a lot more as well. And you've got some other tracks that are really putting up some money right now. And they said, you know, look at Brent Marks. They used him as an example. He runs a true outlaw schedule. He runs with the Outlaws. He runs with the All-Stars. He runs local. He does what he wants. And look at how much money he's won this year without chasing points. He's not worried about points. He's not worried about a championship. He's not worried about having to race 3 or 4 days a week with the same series just to win a championship. He goes wherever he wants. He races whenever he wants. And he picks the races. Brandon Overton does the same thing. And look at the money that these guys win and make every year by just running their own schedule. How much, though, Christina, the World of Outlaws are pretty – They're pretty funded, and they've been around for quite a while, race series. I don't see the World of Outlaws racing series completely folding. I don't see everybody just leaving the Outlaw racing series, right?
Yes and no. I don't foresee it being something that's gone completely. It's going to end up like the late model series where you have, I don't know, only a handful of regulars and everybody else is a show out, you know, comes from wherever, which is fine, which is, you know, the only difference is they can't say they're the best in the world.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you're not the best in the world when the best in the world doesn't run with you every week. That's my only take on it. I love the amount of money that is put out and showed out, and a lot of these tracks really push it and put their own funding. They get their own funding. That's what some people forget. The Outlaws don't bring the money, so to speak. The tracks and marketing, mm-hmm. sponsors and everything else, that's who's bringing more of this money. So, and if the track can do it and the track's going to continue, these tracks can and they will, that's what's going to keep every racing circuit alive. Whether it is World of Outlaws, whether it's All-Stars, whether it's, you know, Lucas Oil, because Lucas Oil has their own sprint car series as well. So, I mean, that's the thing. There's so many touring, like, series that you can be dominant and be good. And I think there's more All-Star regulars than there is World of Outlaw regulars.
Yeah. It's, you know, and the Outlaws have to be careful because they got to watch their sponsorships because, you know, it'd be easy for NOS to just say, okay, we're done being a title sponsor. I have heard that for a racetrack to host the World of Outlaws, they have to pay $100,000, and then they only get like 50% of gate sales, maybe. And they get, they obviously get to keep all the concessions, but they only get like half the gate sales the track does even. So yeah, the World of Outlaws,
what do you think,
bring a big crowd,
but that's why, for those folks that are always wondering, why does the Outlaws cost more than a regular show? That's why. This is exactly why. There's a lot for these local tracks and all these tracks to be able to do this with the World of Outlaws, but it requires a lot of money to host one of these. It's not easy at all. And that's the craziest thing about it. Everyone thinks it's so easy to be a track promoter and all this. It's not. It's more work than a day job.
I think what a lot of people get frustrated about, though, too, is that that much money is getting put up for a World of Outlaw event at a track, even for one night, and then the races are only $8,000 or $10,000 to win. Like,
yeah,
I get it. They've got Dirt Vision, so they've got to pay for, you know, the equipment to broadcast live.
But here's the counter to that. What was the excuse prior to all that?
Yeah.
Because the pricing hasn't changed.
And that's what I mean about sponsors. How much longer are sponsors going to hear this from fans and drivers and whoever and say, okay, yeah, you guys are making all this money for one race and the winning purse is only maybe $10,000 to win. When you've got a series that's going to run through the summer in the middle of the week, and you know it's going to sell out every track they go to, and the purse is going to be $25,000 or $30,000 to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you got Knoxville, how much money they put up on weekends and how many races they hold. So, I think the World of Outlaws, this whole story comes from what has happened with the officiating and some of the official problems that they've had over the last couple of weeks, is I think people are really starting to step back and be like, okay, is the World of Outlaws series really the greatest in the world? Have they gotten too out of focus of what racing should be? You know, are they too worried about Dirt Vision and showing live stuff and making a show out of it rather than just showing up and racing? So I think the World of Outlaws need to kind of almost take a step back this offseason and be like, take a deep breath, refocus before next year, because depending on what this racing series that Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson have next summer, I think the Outlaws need to really watch what they're doing and really need to refocus a little bit.
Or take pride in what they have and make it better. But, I mean, we don't do that, and then we have the issues we have. And, I mean, there's a lot of issues, and they don't care. Not saying that they'll change their ways, but they haven't cared in a long-ass time.
And it's funny, too, because the races and events that I've been to, the World of Outlaw events that I've been to, it's like everybody who's not part of the World of Outlaw officiating crew or a driver, like, walks around on pins and needles, because if you do the wrong thing, the Outlaws, like, will kick you out of the track. Like, there's not a, hey, you can't get away from there. You can't be here. You can't be there. Or, you know, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, let's get out of this area, blah, blah, blah. It's no, get out of the racetrack. You're kicked out. Like, holy cow. Like, their heads have gotten too big for their helmets, I think. So,
we could talk about their issues all night. I've got quite a bit of things that could be said. And I mean, it's a waste of air and breath, because it's not that we don't care. We care. The problem is they don't.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And the situation that everyone's put in is the fact that some of the fans that should be, not the fans, but they should be caring, and they should care about the fans and everything else. It's not always there, nor do they care, and it's just, you know,
yeah,
meh. It is what it is, and they just keep going on and on, and we just sit here and we'll complain more about it until people decide that, you know, either stop going to their events and worry about other people's events, or you never know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, before we completely get off of the World of Outlaws, they had a few late model races last week as well. Last Monday, while we were on the air, they were racing in Boone, Iowa at Boone Speedway for the Hawkeye 50, Christina, and we see Jonathan Davenport get the win there.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Davenport's on a roll. This is what you want when you're going into trying to be in this, well, not really a title run for him, but you want to get as much money as possible and kick him butt, and I mean, he's doing something that his counterpart who left World of Outlaws was doing.
And speaking of the man who used to be at the top of the World of Outlaw late model standings every single year, the World of Outlaw Case Construction late models, they left Iowa on Monday. They went to Illinois on Saturday at Fairbury Speedway for the Prairie Dirt Classic. And we see somebody who's all too familiar with the World of Outlaw Victory Lane, and that's Brandon Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all we'll say about that. So the World of Outlaw Case Construction late models. We've got Dennis Erb. He is still on top. He leads the points. He's got 4 wins on the year, head and shoulders above the rest of the competition this year. He's got a 168-point lead over Tanner English. Max Blair in that 111V car from Centerville, PA. He is in 3rd place. He's got 2 wins on the year. Ryan Gustin in 4th, and Brent Larson rounds out the top 5. He's from Lake Elmo, Minnesota. How would you like to say, hey, where are you from? I'm from Lake Elmo, Minnesota. So that's,
yeah, like how does that even happen? Like, where is that?
I don't know. But the guy below him, Josh Richards, he's from Houston, not Texas, Houston,
no.
Ohio.
Yeah.
So there you go. But and then your favorite driver, Boom Briggs, he's from mm-hmm. Bear Lake, Pennsylvania. So that's another.
Yeah.
There's some unique cities that some of these drivers are from. That we probably would have never heard of if it wasn't for the drivers. So pretty neat. Get on worldofoutlaws.com sometime. Check out Series Points for the sprint cars and the late model drivers. And you can see where your favorite driver's from, or you can see where any other driver is from there on the standing sheet as well. The schedule, Christina, coming up for the Case Construction late models. They were supposed to run tomorrow in Minnesota, but that race has been canceled. That was just a regular World of Outlaw event. But Thursday, they will be in Wisconsin for 3 days at Cedar Lake Speedway, Christina, for the USA Nationals.
A lot of racing. It's going to be crazy. And what we didn't talk about is Kyle Larson, I think, cared more about the late model racing this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Just saying. He did better in the late model race than he did it in NASCAR this weekend. For those who keep track, yeah, that's exactly what happened. But,
was
I mean,
not
there's
a
lot of great racing.
Him.
No. So they're going to go to the Case Construction late models, like you said, Cedar Lake, 3-day show, and then they're going to my home area. Who doesn't like late models in Pennsylvania? Come on. Some of the best racing you can have in Pennsylvania. You know, they were actually supposed to race tomorrow.
Yeah, it got canceled.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota. Silly.
I-94 Sure Step Speedway. That's a different name for a racetrack.
I think that has to do with tires. because, you know, there's a lack of those.
I was going to say, there's not really any weather in this area or
no,
up there
it's
right
tire
now.
Situation.
So, yeah, which is
which
another...
baffles me. How does NASCAR not run out of tires? I'm going to throw that out there.
Goodyear's got their own little operation. They probably make sure they got plenty of tires. Anyway, the All-Star Circuit of Champions, Christina, we talked about Tony Stewart
yeah, let's talk about
a little bit
one.
Ago.
The ones that
Tony
don't try
Stewart
to cheat people.
Owns this series. and this series, Christina, you know, for not being as hyped up as the World of Outlaws, the All-Stars, they put up some money. They had a pretty big
yeah.
money race this past weekend. Now, they were supposed to be at I-70 Speedway in Missouri for 2 days for the Race Rudine Foundation race.
Mm-hmm.
But we got rained out the first night, but it went off without a hitch on the second night, Christina. $26,000 to win, and we see Anthony Macri beating Buddy Kofoid.
Big
and
money,
Justin
Macri.
Peck. There you go. He gets the win.
Totally renamed him. But hey, it's okay. It happens. He also got a guitar.
Yeah.
Woo. How cool is that? Give me a guitar. Don't do like Kyle Busch did to his, if we remember a couple years ago when he smashed it at Nashville. But,
yeah, I bet
yeah.
he regrets that. Yeah.
I don't think he does.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He
I don't
probably
think
doesn't really get anything in life.
Anything in his life. Yeah, nothing
no.
at all. But, yeah, so Anthony Macri, who's an invader, decides to take it upon himself, and he's going to take all the damn money with him.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Good for him. Good for
yeah.
the PA boy out there doing what he does best and pissing off everybody else.
And then the very next night, on Saturday, we go down to Knoxville, Iowa at Knoxville Raceway for just a regular race, just a one-night race down there, 8,000 to win for the All-Stars.
Getting themselves ready.
Yeah, and we see Rico Abreu get himself a win again with the All-Stars.
I'm not shocked by that.
He beats out Kerry Madsen and Tyler Courtney. Sunshine gets a podium again.
Sunshine needs to keep getting podiums and, you know, doing the best he can do there to keep that points, you know, the points lead and everything else. But Rico winning at Knoxville, I mean, Rico is a great race car driver. It sometimes doesn't always show, but he's very good at what he does behind the wheel. And, I mean, if you want to talk about people with porn star mustaches, he beats Chase Elliott in that category by a long shot. I mean, I had to bring it up. I mean, it's me. It wouldn't be normal if I didn't.
You know what's crazy, Christina, is I say another win. I mean, he's got several All-Star wins, obviously. But this is his first one of this season. That's a really surprising stat for me. Anthony Macri's win, that's his fifth of the year in only six races, only six All-Star races. That was win number five for Anthony Macri. But for Rico, that's his first win of the year. Now, he's only ran six races also with the All-Stars. But, you know, usually when Rico shows up, he's a threat. But this is his first win of the year with the All-Stars, so big congrats to him.
Yeah, and it's no better preparation for Knoxville Nationals than getting a win like a week and a half prior to the big show. So it's great showing for him, great showing for the All-Stars. They did well, and like I said, Sunshine just pocketing some points, padding that lead because he's going to need it.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He has a 106-point lead right now in the All-Star Circuit of Champions point standings over Justin Peck, Parker Price Miller, Cap Henry, Zeb Wise. That is your top five in the points right now. And as you mentioned, Christina, the the All-Stars are now off until the middle, closer to the end of August. They won't come back until August 19th, but that's because, as you mentioned, the Knoxville Nationals are coming up. This is a World of Outlaws sponsored event, but every sprint car driver in the country will show up to this four-day event, Christina, four straight days of racing in Knoxville, not Knoxville, Tennessee. We're talking about the big Knoxville, the Knoxville Nationals in Knoxville, Iowa.
The one that counts more.
Car racing capital of the world, Knoxville,
right,
Iowa.
Exactly. Yeah, which, I mean, I would love to go. It's semi on a, you know, it's a bucket list race for a lot of people. Mine as well. I will be there one day in my lifetime. No doubt about it. I will get there. But, I mean, this is a, this is the main event of August for sprint car racing. So be there, be one of the, I don't know, so many odd entries. They keep telling you every day how many people have signed in. A lot of fun, crazy drink. Everything happens with this.
Yes. Yes, they do. Also, before we completely step away from talking dirty, we mentioned the Lucas Oil late models. You mentioned that they have their own little sprint car series as well. But the Lucas Oil late models, Christina, back in towards the end of July, they had a three-day event at I-80 Speedway. We got some good results from there?
That's what I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to get
Davenport won the final night. Davenport.
I believe he won, like, he was a three-peat winner or something. Yeah, let's see. So I had to wait for the damn thing to load.
Nick Hoffman won night two.
It wanted to pretend it didn't know who he was, you know. All right, so night one.
Night
oh,
one
Chris
was 12,000 to win.
Yeah, 12,000 went to Chris Madden on night one. Jonathan Davenport and Bobby Pierce were your top three from night one. Then we saw Mike Millar and Brandon Shepard be your top five. That's night one. And then we go to night two, which was Friday. And we have a, well, prelim night, obviously. But so we have Nick Hoffman, as you stated, from Morrisville, North Carolina, the capital of NASCAR. And then we saw Jimmy Owens and Mason Ziegler. Mason Ziegler, as you all know, is from Chalk Hill, Pennsylvania. That was your top three. Now, where would... Holy bananas. So, yeah, that was how that... Oh, I'm lying to you. That's the heat race. Oh, so these are just prelims.
Yeah. The big night was last night.
My bad. So there were only heats on Friday. I hate when they do that. Who pays money to watch nothing but heat races?
Well, you got to get that lineup ready for the next night. Big night.
I don't care.
The Silver Dollar Nationals.
Money. I don't give no flying effer-roo-roos. If you're not going to have me no damn feature, why pay $50? Oh, no. Mm-mm. People need priorities to get straightened out somehow. Nope.
So here,
Mm-mm.
So here's the big night, Christina. So the we're talking about the Imperial title Silver Dollar Nationals here at I-80 Speedway in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
The final night, Christina, 80 laps. This is nothing out of the ordinary for late models. I mean, how many 100-lap races do these late model drivers run
80
in every year?
Nothing.
Yeah, 80 laps is nothing for these guys. But
it's
53,000 to win. That's a pretty good night. That's a pretty good night of work right there.
Well, Big Sexy would tell you that's a mediocre night of work. you know, he won a lot more in one race.
Yeah, I
but
know.
But no, that's a very good purse, which kills me. If you really want to sit and look at purse prize money between late models and sprint cars, some of your bigger, best-paying out shows are late models. And I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
It's not even that I love late models more. Has nothing to do with that. It's just fact. If we want and we want to compare, you just said how much money for one race?
$53,000.
When at top, he may be a $22,000 for a sprint car race.
$26,000, $25,000. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's what I'm, see, just saying, folks, laying out the facts. I don't lie. But, so the Silver Dollar Nationals, where we actually see some nothing but features, 80 laps of craziness. Of course, we had B-mains. We had everything. We had a non-qualifier, last chance showdown. This is what I'm saying. Why the hell couldn't you give me a last chance showdown on Friday? Come on now. Non-qualifier race ran. Come on, you could have ran a non-qualifier race on Friday. What? Jesus, come on. Could have ran a B-main at least on Friday. Then you wouldn't have had two. But you had two B-mains. Wait, one, two. I lied. Three B-mains. Come on now. Run one of them sumbitches on Friday next time. Come on, guys. Get it together. Do a little better. But, so nonetheless, 80-lap showdown. You saw the best of the best compete in this big old race. And, of course, it's Jonathan Davenport that wins.
Uh-huh.
Which is ironic because where did Brandon Shepherd finish? I know. Do you know? Because it wasn't on the podium.
Top six.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. But the person he's trying to beat for the late model Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series Championship is a man that won it last year, is Tim McCready, and he finished on the podium, second
on the
to
podium.
Be exact.
But, you know, Christina, we talk about $53,000. That sounds like a lot of
That's
money
lot.
To us, right? Well, it's evidently not enough for Brandon Overton because he didn't even show up. He says $53,000. Please, I got that in my wallet. Give me something better. Give me 80. Give me 100,000 to win. Then I'll show up.
We kid, but he really wasn't there, folks.
No, he wasn't.
He really wasn't. He wasn't in it at all. And I wish he would have because I feel like he would have given these guys a little bit more run for their money. Would have definitely made it a lot more interesting. But nonetheless, so we gave you the top two, Davenport, McCready, and Devin Moran, who you know, is needing some good luck and some, you know, momentum on his side, finished third. Fourth was Mike Millar, Earl Pearson Jr., then, as we stated, Brandon Shepherd, Bobby Pierce, Ricky Thornton Jr., Jimmy Owens, and Chase Jungus. That is your top ten. I mean, that's a stacked top 10 to begin with, and that's what makes it even more fun. These are the best race car drivers in the world.
We might see Brandon Overton, though, at the next Lucas Oil event starting August 11th on a Thursday. We got Thursday, Friday, Saturday event here at Florence Speedway. It's the 40th annual Sunoco North-South 100. That is $75,000 to win on the final night of that. So
that's where he's from.
we just may have a big sexy sighting at Florence Speedway. So you'll have to stay tuned for that.
We should, considering that that is you know, around about where he's from in the area. So we should see that. You're going to see them go all over the now. It's a whole show of everything. And not only are we going to have the World of Outlaw Case Construction late models invade Pennsylvania in August, we're going to have the Lucas Oil late model drivers do the same thing. Because August 26th and 27th, they're invading Port Royal Speedway.
Ooh.
For a rumble at the river.
Nice.
Could have picked a better name, but
I
guess
like the rumble
right
by
there,
the river.
But Jesus. I don't, and I'm from there. I don't know, it's a terrible name.
Oh, boy. Well, I think that about does it for all of the dirt racing drama that we can pack in for 1 hour. Ready to move on?
Well, are we going to do your little, are we doing the giveaway before we move on, since this is dirt drivers on this thing?
Well, how about we take a commercial, and then we come back,
okay,
and we'll do our hat giveaway, and then we'll segue into asphalt racing. How's that?
Sounds like a plan. While you're on commercial break, I'll pull the randomizer up.
Okay, you do that, and then I'll explain to you how we're going to do it. Everybody else, you just sit tight. Keep it tuned right here to the Fastlane Sports Show on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. We're going to take a quick commercial break. On the other side of the break, we're going to start drawing some names and numbers for this hat that we're going to give away. Somebody, one person, is going to win this hat. We're also going to talk about NASCAR. We're going to talk about the league. And we're going to throw somebody or somebody's or a whole group of people's or I don't know how many, into the penalty box coming up later as well. So keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Thank you. I was sending a picture to my phone. All right. We are back. We are going to do a giveaway now. We have a hat that was signed at Wayne during Ohio Sprint Speed Weeks with the Tizos All-Star Circuit of Champions presented by Mobil 1. That is the name of the of their series. So it's always a mouthful. All right, Christina, I have 14 people who are eligible for this hat. Some of them are in our league. Some of them are not. So here's what we're going to do. I have all of their names wrote down. I've assigned each person a number. What we're going to do first, the first round, is we're going to randomly pick four numbers. I'm going to write those names down in order of how they were picked. The second round, you're going to pick two numbers. Those two numbers are going to go head-to-head, and whichever number you pick is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 14, 1 through 14, go ahead and randomly pick the first number.
Okay, let me guess this. All right, I'm going to do a spinner wheel. Hold on. Well, okay, so the first number is 6.
First number is 6. That is Chris Howell. Chris is in our league. I also work with Chris. So that's our first number was 6. All right, we need another number. Aaron Heckathorn. Aaron is in our league also.
Oh, boy.
Aaron,
all right.
Aaron Heckathorn. All right. Another number.
Give the wheel a little time. All right. We got 14.
14, Matt Stroll. He is not in our league.
Say,
but
am I going to pick everybody that's in the league?
I do work with Matt, though, as well. So, all right.
Oh,
one more number.
Okay, here we go.
Two. Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Derek,
who did I pick?
Derek Taylor. I work with him as
I don't
well.
Even know who that is.
Yeah, I work with him as well. So we got two people from the league, and we have two guys that I work with when actually I know all these people from work. So I work with Aaron's husband.
And I know
so.
None of them.
Well, you know Aaron. She's in our league. Chris, he's in our
league.
I mean,
I know
them.
I know them by personally. I know them by random thing.
Okay, so here we go. So Chris Howell is now number one. Aaron Heckethorn is number two. Matt Stroll is number three. Derek Taylor is number four. So now, Christina, I need two numbers. The first number, one through four, I need you to randomly pick a number one through four. That's going to give us our first championship contender.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's see. Oh, man, of course the shit freezes on me in the middle of doing this. No worries. No worries. One through four. All right, let me change that. The max is four. Generate. Oh, Lord. Two.
Aaron Heckethorn. All right, Aaron. All right, now I need one more number.
Okay. What? That just gave me the same damn number. What the hell? No, we're not doing that. Spinner. Go to the spinner. The spinner is more fun for me. I like the wheel.
I bet.
It's like playing roulette without Three,
Matt Stroll. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go.
So we have
so now
one
we've
in the league and one not in the league.
Correct. So now.
All right. All right.
Here we go.
Don't
50-50 chance. I need
don't
a number.
Don't tell me names. No,
okay.
We're going to do this different. We're going to do this different. I'm going to do a wheel. You're going to have to give me time. Random name wheel. Name picker. I'm going to do this because I don't want somebody to think, oh, blah, 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 blah. No, we're going to do random wheel, and we're going to put each one of their damn names in the wheel, and that is it.
Okay.
So let me go here. That way it's
okay.
Free. It's free. It's, nobody can say. All right, so we have what? Aaron as one.
We have
and what was
E-R-I-N, Aaron, and Matt.
M-A-T-T. I know how to do that. Bam.
All right.
Number of winners, one. Oh, shoot. Matt is our winner.
Matt Stroll is our winner. Matt.
And just so everyone doesn't think I'm cheating, I'm going to send it to Pete. That way he sees this weird little thing that I did. And yeah, I will send it to you. That way you see it. Random generator thing. Can't cheat. I'm not even in it, so I can't win. There you go. I sent it to you, Pete. It's in your phone. It even gives you date and time, folks. Damn.
Did you send it text?
Yeah, I just texted it to you.
Oh, I got it. Okay. All right.
Date and time.
I got it. All right. I'm going to make a post real quick.
Oh, you're making your post. You're like, where did you go? He can't multitask. How many people watch the NASCAR racing is what I want to know. And do you know who is my penalty box pick? Did you leave me? Pita. Oh man, this is tension. This tension talking about racing. NASCAR. I'm ready. Let's go. Did you mute yourself? I'm like an anxious little kid waiting for the NASCAR talk. But I think he left me, guys. I think I'm, like, all alone here now. Oh, no. I don't even want to talk about race NASCAR without knowing where to start and where to finish. I could talk about this last weekend in NASCAR for hours. We ain't got hours. We got roughly 45 minutes. Wait. He's really going to give him the trophy? Oh, see? He did. Uh-oh. The computer has failed him now. Well, Pete, just call in and I'll answer the line for you. It still shows you're on. Oh, no. The computer did not want you to show who won the hat drawing, I'm assuming is what happened. So, you know, we'll hang out. I'll talk a little bit of, well, I'll talk about something that's not NASCAR, the Cup Series. We can talk about Xfinity until I find out if Pete's going to come back or not. We'll see. But we'll talk about Xfinity racing at Indy, obviously, you know. It is what it's the same person that won last year, AJ Allmendinger, who kind of never thinks he has a good car ever anymore. I don't know if he's like that hard on himself or what he's doing, but I mean, he always seems to fight there at the end and claw his way back up, which is exactly what he did, and he ended up victorious again at Indy. He got a little bit emotional and everything else after that win, so that kind of set the stage for him. We saw Alex, I didn't even realize Alex Bowman finished second in that race at Indy. Justin Allgaier, Ross Chastain, Chase Briscoe, you could have assumed that this was almost a Cup Series race here with all these guys and gals battling back and forth. We saw Noah Gragson literally had to cut away half the splitter. I assumed they were over at that point. They did not go a lap down. They were very good at what they did. Didn't go a lap down. Ended up repairing it, fixing it, and getting back in it and got a top 10, which is, you know, that team's clawing its way through and making it work, which is good for them and keeps them in the playoff hunt. It keeps them in the hunt for everything as well for that. And obviously, I don't think he's in contention for the championship, well, the regular season one. He's back there in fifth. He's in fifth position in the regular season points, but he will start fourth in the projected playoff series points as of right now. Noah will. Now, mind you, we got a couple Toyotas that are playing spoiler and up here in this fun and games and playing along and trying to get in there and get those playoff points and doing well. We see two Fords. We see Ryan Sieg and Riley Herbst. Now, Riley Herbst is having a decent day and he got spun out. Everybody got spun out. Okay. Ooh. Are you there? Pete?
I'm here.
What is wrong with your computer? Leave me
I don't
all by myself.
Know. I had to reset it.
Oh,
you picked
man.
The winner and it broke my computer. It's your fault.
You're funny. I know. It happens.
What I miss of my own show.
Nothing. I started with Xfinity because I didn't know where else to go, that I knew it wasn't going to be you missing a lot, because I just think I started with Xfinity. I thought it would be easier.
That works.
So, no, take it back over. I'm just here.
Oh, no.
Let's talk
go ahead.
Cup racing
what
were
you
now.
Saying about
no.
the Xfinity series?
Oh, no, I was breaking down the points as they were. We saw a couple Fords. We see a couple Toyotas, but 90% of the playoff field is going to be run and owned by Chevy. In the Xfinity series, which
yeah.
is no shock. It's no shock that AJ Allmendinger won.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't thrilled, but it's funny, too, because somebody said something about, you know, he had the chance to move back up to the Cup and race for colleague racing in the Cup Series or something. And he said he'll never be a Cup driver again. But,
well, he is. He's part-time.
We had quite... What's that?
He runs part-time. He ran Sunday.
Yeah, he does. He does run part-time. He has ran a few races this year so far. Trying to find him. He's not even on here. I know he's
no,
ran, what, three
I'm
or four?
Sure he was
three
like...
or four, five races.
I feel like he was ready to pass out, though. That was a tough race for him Sunday. No cool suit.
After the race, he had to go to the infield care center. They got him on some fluids and stuff and got him cooled down pretty quick. And his wife, you know, tweeted something that, you know, he was okay. He got some bunch of fluids in him, got cooled down, and he was okay. So no lingering health issues, just a little overheated there at the end, which it was a hot day yesterday. It was pretty hot. And then you figure being in that car, no cool suit and no cold air getting on you.
Well, he wasn't the only one.
It would get pretty warm.
That's what's crazy. There were several guys that went. I mean, Chris Buescher going, I assumed he was going to go one way or another just to make sure. I mean, he stayed in the car, and his car's on fire on pit road. That was the craziest thing I've seen all day yesterday. Well, no, it's not the craziest thing. But there's some crazy action and shit that happened in that race, and people were stupid. People wrecked the wrong people at the wrong end of the race. I mean, good Lord. If I'm Kevin Harvick, I'm using my car as a bulldozer the rest of the damn year.
We had all kinds of drama yesterday in the race. I didn't watch a single lap of it. I was busy, but I listened to the entire race. And from the very first lap, what was it I sent you guys in that group message? I said, these guys sound like, from the very first lap, these guys were racing like there's only five races left and two spots open for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how these guys were racing from the drop of the green flag. And we saw a few big wrecks take out a lot of big names in racing, which allowed a lot of otherwise mm-hmm. guys who don't usually get top 10 were getting top 5s and top 10s yesterday. But aside from that, we did have – it was a wreck fest there a couple parts of the race, especially at the end. And
mm-hmm.
overtime, we had cars wrecking. But the one thing I want to mention at the beginning of the show, you know, I said that we've got drivers that want to go back to the Indy Oval. We've got
mm-hmm.
drivers that love the road course racing, obviously. I will say this from the broadcast yesterday. I don't think NASCAR can go back to the Indy Oval because the announcers yesterday, now it was, I listened on the NASCAR app. Usually it's MRN or PRN, but because we were in Indianapolis, it was the IMS radio network. Had like, I think Chris Myers was on it, Jeff Hammond, a couple of the other guys from the regular MRN radio broadcast. But they were saying that for NASCAR, for the last several years, probably maybe decade, you know, the Indy race has gone considerably downhill. They've tried moving it, thinking because of the heat, they would move it from May to July, end of July, beginning of August. They've tried to move the date several times. That wasn't helping with attendance, Christina. They've gone to the Indy Road Course race now. This is the second year they've done this for Cup. The announcer said this year's crowd was the biggest they've seen at Indy for a NASCAR event. The city, the atmosphere, the crowd was the best in the last 10 years that they have seen. I don't think NASCAR can go back to the Indy Oval for this race. They have to keep it to the road course because I think it's garnished and gotten more excitement and more fans involved with the road course, because how many years have we heard NASCAR fans say that NASCAR shouldn't be racing on the Indy Oval because that track wasn't built for these kind of cars? So the
road course too.
Well, the attendance had dropped off so bad for the Indy Oval.
Boring.
Well, I think NASCAR was trying to do something to get the attendance back up, and they found it. I think it's the road course. I think there's more people that like road course racing than care to admit, or, you know, that we really don't listen to, because I think there's quite a few NASCAR fans that enjoy road course racing and seeing these cars on a road course. I, for one, think that I love road course racing, and, you know, Watkins Glen is probably one of my favorite road course races in NASCAR. But right. I think that this is giving a new life to NASCAR at Indianapolis. We can still go to Indy. We can still race in the track of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Mm-hmm. We're throwing a wrench in it and racing on the road course part of it. And it's more excitement. Look at the excitement we had yesterday. A lot of cars got tore up. But you wouldn't have seen that on the oval
drama.
Race. You wouldn't have seen that on the oval race, though.
No, you wouldn't have. And, I mean, we wouldn't have seen a brake failure that or something. There was a mechanical failure in the 5. And thank God Ty Dillon was there. Because, honestly, I don't know where his car would have went at that kind of speed. That was crazy.
Well,
that was such a weird wreck. And, I mean, thank God Ty was okay. And, you know, Kyle went over to make sure he was okay. And then he declined an interview. And people on Twitter are like, oh, he's being a little bitch. He declined an interview. No, they said why he declined the interview. He wants to know what the hell failed on that car. Any good race car driver is going to want to know what the hell caused that. Because that was crazy. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
If somebody's not going to give an interview for that, that's okay. But if somebody's not going to give an interview just because he wants to be a whiny little bitch like some people in the past, speak up then, not now.
And see, they didn't explain that. That's the first I heard that. Like
they
I said,
did
I didn't
TV.
Watch the race.
Yeah, they
I
told
only
us.
Listened to it.
So that happened right after they talked to Ty to make
right.
you know after Ty was released from the in care, the same. Interviewer, the same broadcaster, also said Kyle Larson had come out a few minutes prior. They asked to speak with him. He declined because he wanted to go back and specifically said, I need to see what failed. I need to talk to my team and see what went wrong to cause that. So, I mean,
right.
that I don't have an issue with, and that is nothing for anyone to have an issue with on Twitter. But, you know, Twitter is...
Yeah. See, on the radio broadcast, all they said was that he had come out, but he had declined an interview. And I was like, whoa, Kyle Larson declined to talk to me, but they didn't say why. See,
that's
so
exactly
I had
the
no
thing,
idea.
It's gate baiting is what it is. People are just trying to I hate when people broadcasters do that.
It didn't bother me, but I was taken back. I was like,
yeah.
Holy cow. I would have never thought I heard those words before that Kyle Larson declined to talk
right.
to me. That was just – but I also did see today that it was not a brake failure on that car.
No.
They didn't say what it was, though. So.
No, because I don't think they fully know yet what failed. Something failed.
I wonder.
But they don't know what.
Something with the clutch gas.
Maybe.
Transaxle. Something had to have gotten stuck. Because
that was a high rate of
speed. That car did not stop. I'm
going to
guess
speed.
He let off the gas and the gas pedal didn't let off. So
yeah.
I wonder if something got stuck in the linkage there to where it stayed in gear and it just kept going, and it didn't matter how hard he pushed the brakes. So, but
maybe.
Yeah, thankfully both of them were okay. But we had accidents.
Let's talk about the four car. Does he have a target, like a bullseye? Does he have like the target symbol somewhere on that car? Because I swear Denny Hamlin has hit him every week for the last 3 weeks.
I don't know. I didn't.
Because legitimately yesterday, I don't know what Denny Hamlin was thinking. Denny Hamlin conveniently sucks on road courses this year. I will say it.
Yep.
Half his fans on Twitter have said it. He's garbage. He's one of the worst Toyota drivers when it comes to road course racing. And he flat out just doored the four. And I'm like, are you serious? He was there the whole time. And then I don't know what Alex Bowman and the rest of them were doing. And then it was like monkey see, monkey do. And like, I don't know. The four just went all over the place a couple times yesterday. And if you listen to Harvick's in-car audio, he wanted to know the numbers. What car? He says, give me the five cars that just hit me. That's not good. It's not good for any other people that decided to mess with the four this year. I would not mess with the four this year. He's on a mission. I mean, he's going to be all out Tony Stewart soon. Wreckers or checkers? Oh, no. Did you crash again?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Woo! Don't scare me. Don't leave me like that. I mean, so the four car, he's in a pickle, a big pickle. But what I will say, what I thought was very ironic, is his view on Kyle Busch.
Okay.
He made the comment. They asked him because, you know, there's a potential link between Kyle Busch and Stuart Haas Racing. You know, it could happen. You know, there's rumors that he went to whatever. So they asked Kevin Harvick about this. He said, I'd hire Kyle Busch today because he'd have a great impact on the performance of our team and just the urgency to do some things better. What?
I believe I read, you know, some
he
of these all
knowing. He also said, what's crazy is I get along great with Kyle. We're going to race each other and be mad at each other, but I have a good relationship. And I can tell you that having a team like Kyle makes my car faster. So, I mean, he is all for. That's crazy. Just to see each other on the racetrack.
That's funny because, you know, these all-knowing NASCAR journalists just wrote an article recently that Kevin Harvick has threatened that if Kyle Busch comes to the team, he could leave. He would leave the team because they would butt heads.
Yeah.
Huh. How about that?
Right out the horse's mouth and it's the opposite.
Yeah. Well, these are also the same reporters that are so far up Bubba Wallace's ass that they don't know where they start and he ends. So, you know, he's another one that it sounds like he's probably going to get a contract extension, which I think is a waste of ink and paper. The man shouldn't even be in NASCAR. He has no respect for his team ever the last couple of years. He's proven that. Radio communications, articles that he's been interviewed for. He doesn't he's not a team player. It's all about him, and it's all about his agenda. And NASCAR lets him get away with this. And I think there's other drivers who are more deserving of a cup ride, Matt DiBenedetto, than Bubba Wallace. So if he does get a contract extension, I think that that is just – he's basically just getting it because of who he is, and it's not because of his talent, because we all know he has no talent. So the Barbasol phone line number to call is 657-383-1903. If you want to debate me on it, I'm up for a debate. So that's just how I feel. But I think Kyle Busch is going to be at Stewart Haas Racing. Now, you did shift, I thought, to 10. I figured Eric Almirola was going to retire. Kyle Busch is going to slide into the 10. We'll still have Cole Custer. And who's the other one? Chase Briscoe at
you said
SHR.
The other one. You forgot the one driver that actually won this year.
Well, I cannot remember Chase Briscoe. I can always remember Cole Custer, but I can't remember Chase Briscoe. But I figured those two, I figured the young kids would still be there. But so what were you – you were saying something about maybe Chase Briscoe could be out of the 14?
Or Cole Custer could be out of the 41. I mean
– I could maybe see – okay, let's say this.
It's either going to be the 10 or the 41. At this point, the 14 is the only one with a win. So unless something very drastically happens and Briscoe isn't the guy anymore, I mean, Tony talks highly of him. But, I mean, there's been talks that there's people going to be out that you don't expect out. I would assume – because we all know that Eric Almirola has announced he will step away, retiring, however he's going to do it. And so the 10 is open, quote-unquote, officially open. And then, but I've also heard that they're not happy with the performance with the young guys either, which, I mean, can you blame them? They both did very well in Xfinity. I mean, Briscoe did. I don't know if Cole Custer was, you know, the cat's meow in Xfinity. But, you know, I just don't know. And, I mean,
you know,
Stewart Haas, what, they field, what, one car in Xfinity? Is that the Riley Herbst machine, right?
Maybe. I think so.
And that one's not the one that great either. There's just got to be some changes made. And I think Kyle Busch would shake up a whole lot of things. And, I mean, him and Kevin Harvick, were they not teammates once before? Oh, no.
No,
thinking of something completely different. No.
They were manufacturer teammates.
Yeah.
Chevy.
Hendrick,
they both
and,
raced for Chevy.
Yeah. The Hendrick Childress, and Childress thing. Yeah.
I don't see why it would matter, but I don't see them moving, you know, because they're all on the same team, but maybe moving Chase Briscoe from the 14 to the 10 and putting Kyle Busch in the 14, like,
nah,
is,
I think
would they do
him
something
the
like that?
Nah, be either the 10
maybe,
or the 41.
Maybe Stewart Haas Racing is going to downgrade. Maybe they get rid of the 41, bring Kyle Busch into the 10, and just be a three-car team.
What, and sell their charter to 2311?
Somebody's going to need a charter. Maybe they'll work out a deal with Wood Brothers and sell Wood Brothers
Junior Motorsports.
Who?
Junior Motorsports.
Junior Motorsports is going to need a charter. Yeah.
Yeah, because Hendrick can't
build
anymore.
Listen, you guys were all accusing me of being a jinx, and I didn't pick Eric Almirola this week, and he finally got a DNF.
It wasn't to his fault either. If people knew how to drive race cars and could get through turn one, without going 25 wide and thinking that they deserve to wreck somebody else in the process. I swear, that was the most disastrous thing since Coda.
Listen, that leaves David Lagan, Jacques Villeneuve, and Boris Sednow with zero DNFs in NASCAR. And Kyle Tilley, whoever that is. So those four drivers do not have a DNF. Eric Almirola gets his first one at a road course. Just a miserable day for poor Eric Almirola.
Miserable for all of Stewart Haas Racing. It was a terrible day for them. But they got the shit beat out of them by everyone else. And then, I mean, Joey Logano just, like, crowd surfed the field. And then let's talk about Ryan Blaney, because normally I don't have anything bad to say about Ryan Blaney. Normally I do not. But this is where I don't agree with him. And I looked and I rewatched the restart, that one restart, like, six times. So he wrecks the 99 after the checkered flag, which should have been a penalty in NASCAR. Because you wreck anybody after the race is over, normally that's a penalty. But I know. So, but it's only Monday. Penalties don't come out till Tuesday. So we'll see. So you're going to wreck the 99 because you say he clear out wrecked you. The last I checked, that's not how it happened. And the 99 stayed course with his line through turn one. If the 99 is already there and you put yourself in the middle, because the 12 was in the middle of the 99 and the 16, how is that the 99's fault? And then how is it the 99's fault that the 2 car, last I checked, that's your teammate, hit the 99 and squeezed the 99? If you wouldn't have been in the middle, which is not a driving lane, it shouldn't be, if you want to go into that turn and not get hit, you don't run in the middle. That's just asinine stupidity and retarded, I don't know, all of the above. So that clearly put him into you. He didn't wreck you. The person that literally turned you on your side and literally doored you, the last I checked, his numbers were 1-6. Which would have been AJ Allmendinger. But you're going to turn to 99. I don't agree
Somebody
with
sounds
it.
Upset.
You're going to quote-unquote get payback. Yeah, he did a post-race interview where he's sick of people driving all over him because he's the nice guy and blah, blah, blah. Okay. But yet, two restarts before that, you doored and wrecked the 9. How is it any different?
He wrecked his buddy?
Yes, best friend, his homie. Yeah. But you're
going
to sit here and say that it's everybody else's fault. I feel like he just wanted everybody to talk about something other than the fact that, A, he's winless, B, he's on the cut line, and C, he needs the win. I really feel like he's at that frustration level and that point that he needs somebody and everyone to talk about something different. So he wrecked the 99 without a real intent purpose. Because he clearly, if he would have looked at the restart instead of running his mouth, he would have known it wasn't the 99. But whatever.
Kyle Larson has 5 DNFs now. I just throwing that
out
there.
But he has a win. The system is flawed.
So this is a theme, I guess, for Hendrick Motorsports, because Kyle Larson, William Byron, and Alex Bowman all have
But who is Alex
their
Bowman?
Teammate.
He's been non-existent.
Chase Elliott has won. Ryan Blaney has moved into second in the points, the regular season points, while Martin
Which
Truex
means
Jr.
nothing.
Is fourth in the regular season points. If we go over here to the playoffs, though, obviously – Ryan Blaney is sitting fifth, Martin Truex Jr. seventh, and Truex has gained quite a bit on Kevin Harvick now, 96 points. So
I wonder why.
Kevin Harvick is definitely getting to that must-win situation more so than even Truex right now. So, we got 4 races left, Christina. We have Michigan, Richmond, the Glen, and Daytona. So we have a high bank super speedway style track coming up at Michigan. We have a small town short track style race at Richmond, flat short track there. We have another road course at the Glen, and of course we have the always unpredictable, anybody can literally win at this racetrack, Daytona, coming up as the cutoff before the playoffs. So we've got four races left. We still have two playoff spots to fill. By Ryan Blaney, who's got a 121-point lead on Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., who's got a 96-point lead on Kevin Harvick. So must-win situation more for Kevin Harvick, Eric Almirola, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon.
Or Bubba Wallace, if you want to throw him in there.
I didn't even see, him there. Right.
But if you know, this is where I say the system is flawed. And it is flawed because let me just throw these two names out here and you tell me where they are in regular season points. I don't care about playoff points, playoff positioning. Tell me where they are in regular standing. Where is Denny Hamlin?
19th.
Right, below Kevin Harvick. Where is Kurt Busch?
18th.
Below Kevin Harvick. The system's flawed. The one driver who's sitting 10th in the point, 10th, is Kevin Harvick. And I'm not a Kevin Harvick fan, and I don't know why I am sticking up. I don't know if I fell or went through a time warp. And I don't know what I'm doing because I've rarely ever stood up for Kevin Harvick in any aspect of the realm of racing. But it's baffling that the 10th place car in a regular season points may and potentially will miss the playoffs.
Now, okay, but let's take it a step further. Okay, so he's 10th in the points. You've got other drivers. You've got Tyler Reddick, Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe, Kurt Busch, Daniel Suarez, Austin Cindric, and Alex Bowman. You have seven drivers below Kevin Harvick in the regular season points, but Kevin Harvick is below the cut line. So
it's baffling. It's a flawed system.
I think, yes and no. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get guys from just skating nonchalantly through the regular season. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here for just a second. I agree with you. It's flawed. Kevin Harvick's 10th in the points. He should make the playoffs. But I think what they're trying to do is they're trying with the whole stage thing. I wasn't for stages at first, but I think what they're trying to put some more excitement in here. They're trying to get these guys to race harder for wins to make the playoffs. You know, not saying Kevin Harvick hasn't tried to get a win this year. God, we're not saying that. Not any team is just skating through the season and hoping to make it. They're just trying to give that more emphasis on winning to try and garner more excitement, make these guys race harder, and try and get the fans more in the stands to see Kevin Harvick battle harder for a win. Now you figure the next four races, are any of them a strong suit for Kevin Harvick? Maybe Richmond. And that might be the only track looking forward to going to get a win for the playoffs.
No. Let's
just
go to Daytona and wreck everybody to win. Because I mean, if I'm him, I'm wrecking anyone that has hit me at any point in the last three races. That's the way I would get. But I get that, the whole not wanting bring more excitement. But then I look at it. I like the excitement. It's all fun and games. What I think is also flawed in this. You got guys that have 5 DNFs that are fully locked into this. crazy.
Yeah,
five DNFs. Because let's be honest, if we would have been in the old system, yeah, some of these guys with five DNFs would still be making the playoffs. But it's just wild. You can't tell me before in the past we had this many guys with five DNFs. No shape that we have five DNFs and sitting, you know, comfortably fourth in the playoff points, second in the playoff points, sixth in the playoff points. That's baffling. I mean, I'm just baffled because no other car. And Alex Bowman, who has been literally, what, when did he get his win? I can't even remember. I feel like that's how long ago it's been. He's got five DNFs, and he's been, like, the worst Hendrick driver out of the four. And I like Alex Bowman.
Yeah.
I just think he's been the worst. He's been the worst Hendrick driver.
I mean, even of the five DNFs, I mean, Kyle Larson still has fifth in the regular season points. So,
yeah, I know.
You know,
that's because of the
five
stage
DNFs,
wins.
Well, I guess we'll see. He only had one win. We'll see what happens next couple weeks. It's definitely going to be...
All I got to say is please put a bulldozer on the front of the floor and let them go.
Now, listen, too. Also, you got to figure, Christina, we're going to Michigan. Eric Jones has a win at Michigan.
Oh.
It was a rain-shortened race, but he got his win there with JGR. And not only that, Fords are really good at Michigan, so Kevin Harvick might be looking forward to Sunday. Brad Keselowski is very good at Michigan.
Exactly,
and
right there, calling it now.
if he gets a win, Christina, that shakes it up even more because Brad Keselowski gets a win. Martin Truex Jr., now that 96-point lead he has on Kevin Harvick is down to zero because Brad Keselowski will be in the playoffs because he is above that black line of being eliminated.
Yeah, he's not been officially eliminated. The only two officially eliminated that are full-time drivers, unfortunately, is Corey LaJoie and then Cody Ware. Ty Dillon, on the other hand, is very close. And Brad Keselowski, I think he was so glad to get the hell out of Indy, it wasn't even funny. I don't know what that guy had some seriously bad karma at that racetrack. So, I mean, he might want the oval back.
I would definitely be watching the 6 and the 17 this weekend at Michigan. Those two guys are Roush seems to always bring, I mean, it's in their backyard, but they always seem to bring a good car to Michigan. So, there are a lot of Fords below that playoff cut line that are licking their chops and looking forward to coming to Michigan. Harrison Burton, another one. Hopefully he can back up his finish from yesterday and not look like so much a fluke. So.
Well, I mean, it was only a fluke because everybody decided to wreck each other.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Christina, we've got a couple minutes left. Let's get your penalty box pick in real quick.
All right, let's do it.
Go ahead.
Do I have to? Oh, hold on. I gotta find it. I'm not used to this. This is hard.
Are you
gonna
do the sound?
I gotta find a little. Duh. That's the best part. Who wants to hear me just talk all of a sudden? Come on now.
I got you.
I think you know where the hell is that, because I don't.
I got them organized. Okay, that is our penalty box sounder. This is Christina's favorite part of the show, besides being on with me every week. That's, you know, but she loves this segment. This is her favorite set. Well, yeah, Christina.
Yeah, it's my favorite segment.
Who you got for the belly box this week?
I got a lot. It's a full house. It's such a good thing that Antonio Brown has been very quiet and is not taking up a lot of space, because it's a packed house. So we're going to start with the obvious, which, I mean, hello, I'm going to support the 99 all day and night. I'm just saying, I got an allegiance to the 99. It's signed, it's in blood. It's you know, I'm allegiance to Daniel Suarez. So Ryan Blaney, I'm sorry, but for the first time in your little career and how nice you are most days, this time you're going to sit in the penalty box because you wrecked the wrong guy. Clearly. The video evidence proves it. And then I'm going to throw in Twitter. I mean, not Twitter itself, but, man, I've never fought with so many people on Twitter before and told them they were dumb in my life till this weekend. But, yeah, I'm sorry, but when you can't read the facts, and if you ever tell me that my position and my place in this world is in a kitchen to make you a sandwich, I swear we have gone down this road once before. I will literally – he'll tell you. It doesn't end well. Don't ever tell a person to do that. Don't even tell a female that my place isn't in racing. It's in a kitchen to make a sandwich. That irks me more than anything in the world. Don't ever tell me to do that. Mm. I know more about racing than most people. So, no, mm-hmm. That's terrible. Richard Childress is going to sit in the penalty box because, I'm sorry, he made the announcement. Get the hell over it. Quit it. Quit being a baby. Move on. Mm-hmm. You won a damn race in your 8 car. Get over it. Move on. Quit hashing out shit. And the last I checked, when Kevin Harvick announced that he was leaving Richard Childress Racing, it was not smooth sailing either. There are videos and there are clips and quotes that prove you wrong. And then, probably the biggest culprit in all of this is NASCAR officiating. Oh, my God. Was he competing for the win? Was he penalized? Was he not? We had no idea until the race was already over. Let's flag him right then and there. I mean, it's that simple. What if it was a Chase Briscoe 2.0? Remember the last time we were on road course at Indy? Chase Briscoe wrecked Denny Hamlin. And Chase Briscoe was not even fighting for the lead. Hello? We all bust saw it again. Good thing Ross Chastain didn't take out the 8 car. What if he had? What in the hell? Get it together, people. If you're going to make it a penalty, do it a stop. Stop. He took the access road. Did he clearly want to be involved in a melee? No. Was he avoiding literally the pile up on I-95 in turn one? Exactly. In a way, it was so ingenious, and they talked about it all race long. When is somebody going to use the access road? The minute somebody used the damn access road after you talked about it all goddamn day, you're like, oh, is he going to be penalized? Boy, make up your mind what you want them to do. Damn.
Right.
And if right. You don't want them to use the access to road course to where it's not there. Just saying. And I went overtime, and I apologize. But that's the penalty box. My bad.
Do you feel better?
No, because I could go on more. I mean, it's just, I somewhat feel better. I'm just irritated in the whole situation. It's just, oh, you didn't get to watch the TV broadcast, which makes this harder for you, because if you would have heard them, I literally heard Steve Letarte saying about 55 times prior to him using the access road, who's going to use the access road? Who's going to take advantage of the access road? And then as soon as it's Ross Chastain that takes advantage of the access road, it's a goddamn problem.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the thing. I hate that.
Well,
it irritates me. But, yeah, so it's just like.
I can't wait for all the drama that we can talk about next Monday.
Sandwich. swear to God, people Never. Tell me to stay in the kitchen and make a damn sandwich. Oh, I want to backhand those people with a spatula.
Yeah, that's pretty serious. I can't wait for all the drama for the next Monday show that we're going to talk about.
Watch it be the most boring race we've ever seen.
Oh, it better not be. I love Michigan. It's a track that we've gone to many times, even before the show. I've been at every racetrack that somebody could possibly be in, I have been in. I was in turn 3 and 4 seats before they tore them down. I've been on the front stretch. I've sat on the start-finish line, sat in turns 1 and 2. I've been in the press box. I've been in the driver's meeting. I've been all over pit road, all over the infield, the garage area. If mm-hmm. there's a racetrack that you want to go to and you're from this area, Michigan is definitely the track to go to. Take your pedometer with you because you will walk, I guarantee, you will walk at least 75,000 steps at Michigan, especially if you have to park out in the grass hills there on the backstretch. But it is a beautiful racetrack. I love it. I love going there. I love watching it. Race. It is Sunday, August 7th. Will be the NASCAR Cup Series at Michigan. So I can't wait. We've got 4 races to go before the playoffs are set. Christina, we've only got 4 races for people in our league as well, since we're off live air and recording. We'll go ahead and talk about our league. We've got Ty is in pretty much, I think he's in command of the regular season. He's got a 98-point lead on Jeremy, who's in second, and 99-point lead on you. For now, yeah. I mean, there's still 4 races to go.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Jeremy. He won't be second when it ends.
We've got, Jeremy, Christina, Debbie is right there. She's 119 back. Tristan's right there, 126 back. You got Chris and Tasha. Me, Aaron, and Anthony. That's the top 10. Tasha and Anthony, they still do not have a win yet for this year. Tasha was so close last week, but penalties took that win away from her.
Cheaters never win.
And Ty had a huge points day yesterday, picking Reddick, the only person to go with the pole sitter.
Well, I was going to, but I don't like to pick the same people, the same driver as the people around me do. So then I was like, man, get creative on what I'm doing. Because I'm like, man, he picked him before I could. Which is okay. I took Michael McDowell. He didn't have a terrible day. He ran in the top 10 most of the day. Was beat the shit back. And he still finished in the top 10. So, granted,
almost 30
I picked
points.
A driver. Yeah, and I picked a driver that we never pick.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? You and Debbie have 3 wins on the year, so you can kind of play around with drivers like that, kind of like Chase Elliott, play around with setups and see how things are going to work
play
at certain tracks to get ready for the playoffs. So, I mean, Chase Elliott's got 4 wins. He's comfortably in the playoffs, so... So we've got Ty. He's in pretty good command right now, the regular season standings, those 90 points yesterday. He took advantage of basically all of the bonus points that were offered out there. He was the only one that got bonus points. So thank you to 357 mm-hmm. Woodworks for donating those bonus points. We like to do that for road courses to kind of give them that podium feel. We do that for all the road courses. We got another one coming up in a couple weeks at the Glen, so I'm sure we'll have a sponsor step up and get us some more podium bonus points for that race as well. So it's getting exciting, though, Christina. We're down to just a few races to go to the playoffs, and then we get to pick our teams and see how our teams do for the playoffs. So can't wait. Getting fun.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I like the shit talk with Jeremy, And I do it on here all the time. So that's what I do best. And mind you, folks, I've never won. I just play and like the, you know.
It's fun, though.
I like the shit talk. That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. I'm still working on getting some of these other trophies that Scott made for us, getting those finished up. It takes time and money, which I'm short on both. So, but we will definitely get these trophies finished up. They're beautiful trophies, handmade wood trophies that Scott made over there at 357 Woodworks. So thank you for that. Congrats to Matt on winning the hat, the autographed hat. So congrats to him on that. And I'm excited. We got a lot going on. I can't wait for this weekend. We got more dirt track racing going on, and Small Town Short Tracks will be wrapping up their seasons here probably in the next month or so. So you've got a few more weekends to get out to those tracks and catch some great racing, some local racing, and, you know, who knows, you might run into somebody you know or find yourself a new local hero to cheer for on the weekends.
Who knows, you may run into one of us. You just never know what's going to happen.
You
just
never know. You never know. So, all right, Christina, have a good rest of your night. Have a great week. I'm sure we'll be in touch throughout the week, obviously. We always are. So, we will talk to you next Monday right here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network.
All right. Have a good night, y'all, and I'll see you on the flip side.
All right. That was Christina picking up the slack for me tonight as my computer just kind of pooped out on me. I don't know what happened. Had some technical difficulties. Had to call back in on my own phone. So, but we got it figured out. So thank you for tuning in. If you're still listening to this part, thank you for sticking with us this long. We have ran over a few minutes. So we'll be back next Monday, though, same time, 8 p.m., same place, Slicks and Sticks Radio Network right here. Thank you to Hardcore Fishing Game for being the title sponsor of the show. So until next Monday, for Christina, I'm your host, Pete. See ya!